All right, everybody, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of Super Freak. I'm your host, Talia, where we break down all kinds of stuff. Forensic patterns at frequency origin, higher consciousness, perception, memory, pattern recursion, how to collapse a pattern, behavioral change, systems, so on and so forth. So I want to thank Caroline for sending 3 pages of questions over. Thank you so much. I had something else I was going to talk about today on the podcast, but these questions were so good, I thought I would just print them out and then tackle them one by one. So this might be a very long episode. I have no idea where this is going to end up, where we're going to land. But there's some really good stuff in here, and I don't know how much bandwidth I have to go right now on how deep I want to go into these things, but we'll see what unfolds. Sometimes I get really inspired when it comes to stuff, but I know that I caused a little bit of a wave when I challenged some logic on viruses and nuclear weapons, so I will touch on that and see how deep we actually go into those topics. So as always, you guys, just take a deep breath, take me with you. Sometimes you listen to me in the evening and you settle in. Other times you listen to me on the way to your work and you break up these podcasts in pieces. And I love all of that. So I will always answer your questions. Let me get into these printed questions that I printed out and we'll go from there. Okay. So just jumping right in, we'll kind of turn this into a meditation as well. Settle into the body, and I invite you to just consider and stretch what you think is possible versus what we actually have been told about things. And that is my come from space today, and that is my intention, is not only to help you see yourself from a very different perspective, but begin to zoom out and get more of a complete picture. So when you have a very granular way of looking at things, like extraordinarily myopic, which is what control systems are designed to do. They're designed to limit the amount of information that you are perceiving through light, through body, through news stories, through propaganda, through narrative, through meaning making, etc., through context. They're going to take a very small snippet of something, okay, a particle of the complete picture, and sell it to you as truth. So, for example, with the medical industry, we know that natural medicine was taken out during the Flexner Report and when Roosevelt hijacked the medical industry in, gosh, I don't know, the 1930s. And it was all to find byproduct-based ways of using petroleum. So all of this residue from oil digging and oil use, what do we do with it? We create these petrochemicals and byproducts and put them into beauty, into skin, into health, into different medical studies, etc. So Roosevelt hijacked the medical industry. I encourage you to research the Flexner Report, and took out naturals and began what is now known as modern medicine, pharmaceutical-based industries. So it is extraordinarily profitable for a very small few of people, once again, a downstream level of where information is being created and then propagated through the collective is downstream. Right now, we're trying to regain and reclaim an upstream capacity. No, you guys are wrong. We see what you're doing. You cannot have control over my perception. We're reclaiming an upstream narrative right now and perspective to see a complete picture. So it's extremely profitable for a lot of these industries to keep you sick, in a very simple way of saying that. Okay. So when it comes to viruses and viral whatever, you are not getting better from a vaccine. Very sorry to burst the bubble. I think many of us might know that right now because I guess we're just going to start talking about this now. Okay. So, and just quickly, I think I mentioned Roosevelt because I have polio on my mind, but it's Rothschild. Rothschild is the one that hijacked the medical industry and created what is now known as modern pharma. Okay, so let me jump into just what a virus is. I'm not going to necessarily talk about vaccines, but I will probably give you an example with polio and what happened with polio and what is actually being studied in a vaccine, for example. Not a vaccine, excuse me, a virus. So biochemically, okay, what are they actually studying? What are we getting tested for? What is it, right? So a virus is just the definition of it is a particle of a specific size with a protein coat, DNA or RNA, inside where all proteins are coded for by genetic material that replicates inside a cell and causes quote-unquote dis-ease or decoherence or disharmony. Okay, it's an intracellular parasite. And that parasite is fortified and carried on a wave, an emotional wave, a charge. And then it is stored in our bodies like little computers, in our organs, and each organ has a very specific memory capacity. Like let's say it's field compatible with certain levels of emotions. So for example, the liver holds a lot of anger, a lot of fear, a lot of repressed rage, addiction, abuse lives in the liver, oppression. Okay. So a lot of times when it came to, like when initially I started deprogramming Epstein-Barr quote unquote virus, it was an Epstein-Barr parasite that lived in the liver. And it lived in like the lining of the liver from very, very, very early on pesticide use. So the theme with quote unquote viruses is disruption to bioelectrical intelligence, our bioelectrical information. And all of this ends up becoming very, very formulaic. You're like, wow, they spray shit in the air and I get sick. So let's look at modern day chemtrails and how that is actively affecting our lungs, our mitochondria, our plasma intelligence, our neurological bodies, our nervous systems, etc. So my bold claim is that there is no such thing as a virus because you can't go find a virus. What they're trying to do in studies is they take this genetic material, okay, in quotes, which is just a solution, okay, any kind of genetic material, spine, saliva. They're gonna, you know, when we were getting tested, quote unquote, we had to get a COVID test, okay, they're finding an identical match to the genetic material, not the virus. So they create the genetic material in a lab, and then they see the reaction of that genetic material after they grind it up. They grind up genetic material, okay? They inject it into monkeys. This is what they do, into a monkey brain, and they add antibiotics on it, or they add whatever it is that they're creating some type of neurological agent. And then they're going to, because intracellular parasites cannot survive or produce outside of a cell. So that cell needs something to carry on. So what they do is they take unpurified material from a sick person. Okay. I feel bad. Let me have all these symptoms. They swipe your cheek. You do a pee test. They take blood. Okay. They take this unpurified genetic material and then they place it on a cell culture, which is either a monkey kidney cell or something similar. They remove all the nutrients. They add antibiotics, horse serum, fetal bovine serum, and chemicals like trypsin. Starts with a T, I knew that. Trypsin. And then the cells die in like days, or they don't. This is called viral isolation. Okay. This is what they do. This is what they're calling viral isolation. They're going to create the problem and then insert the exact quote unquote vaccine or genetic material that is apparently supposed to target said unpurified material from a sick person. They're never going to get down to the root of it. And some people get very, very sick And I do understand that. And so a lot of the argument that comes here, so again, every time they go through this isolation protocol, they're not proving that the virus exists. What they're setting up is that there is, let's say, a very unhappy cell based on the genetic material that they have located and found and or created, that there is a way that they can restabilize that cell. Not that the virus exists, okay, but that they have testing that shows that there is genetic material with an antibiotic that they created and they put on it, and somehow, sometimes that cell stabilized and sometimes it didn't. But the real challenge is if you go to the ecosystem where you find a virus, okay, this is what I want virologists to show me. Go to the ecosystem where you say you are finding the virus, pull out the virus, show that all the proteins come from the genetic material, show that particles cause disease in other animals or people, and then say that this claim is incorrect. So what you're seeing right now is a very, very deep state reaction to inflammation. You're seeing genetically, epigenetically transferred, deeply rooted, conditioned pesticide poisoning, chemical poisoning of nervous systems, cells, memory, identity, and inflammation from that. That's literally what is causing sickness. Unprocessed emotion, inflammation, and epigenetics. Cancer is not a thing. You can't find a virus, cancer in terms of it being an actual cell. You find an extremely aggressive way of breaking down DNA and protein. And you can auto-correct cancer. There are cures for cancer. If you're telling me out of all of the studies that have happened, you can come up with a SARS COVID vaccine in weeks and you can't come up with a cancer cure after decades? No, because oncology is big business. And when you realize how dark and nefarious it is, you will do anything to naturally detox the body and get in and get back into homeostasis. So without getting too much into that, I hope that I addressed it in a way where I question the isolation of the virus and the protein. I'm questioning the replication of it. I'm questioning. So for example, just take polio. I'll just touch on this first for a minute. If you look at the case of FDR, okay, polio is a neurological disease. Okay, what affects neurons? Pesticides, air quality, airborne sickness. At the time, DDT was being sprayed violently in very, very specific areas to address all kinds of stuff, like forest animals and bug infiltration and things like that. This is basically a chlorinated, what is it? What's T? It's a chlorinated, I'll remember what it is. It's a chlorinated something. So DDT at the time in the 1930s was being sprayed violently. And I'm not kidding when I tell you children were being sprayed with it because they thought it was a disinfectant. It was in households, primarily upper middle class households. So the Northeast got hammered. Parts of Scandinavia got hammered. So if they came up with a quote unquote polio vaccine, what they were doing is they were isolating the pattern. Okay, they isolated not the virus, but they isolated the propensity for the protein and the RNA messengers, the way that they cells communicate to each other. Hey, we're friends. Okay, mRNA is messenger DNA. So they isolated kind of nothing, okay? They isolated a part of the intelligence. They replicated where the decoherence wave pattern was happening. They're not going to see it this way. Maybe they do. And then they injected a potential cure for it. But when you actually look at what happened, they were injecting this non-binary protein into monkey brains using monkey kidney cells. And some monkeys were dying and some monkeys weren't. It actually completely had no relevance whatsoever. And this dude wins a Nobel Prize for it. Oh, hydrocarbon. Chlorinated hydrocarbon. Yes. I'm like zoned back in here. It dissolves, which dissolves and accumulates in the fat tissues. And at the time, like I said, it was getting sprayed into everything. It was added to wallpaper. It was applied to pets. It was used in household aerosol. So anything airborne, okay? And it was specifically targeted in the brain cell, which is why so much paralysis was being created. So what does that tell you about survivability? What was happening at that time? This is the 1930s, 1940s. This is coming off of post-war deep state survivability realness. Okay. So all of a sudden, a neurological replication or a neurological, let's say, consequence from that war is getting hit directly into a certain part of the spine. So you have a nervous system reaction, a toxicity to survivability being manifested and amplified by an external agent, external environmental factors, and then being carried on survivability information in the body directly into the spine through the mammalian ancestral information, and then boom, cannot move forward, cannot continue to sustain lineage. So for me, when I look at any kind of quote-unquote virus, it's a decoherence wave pattern. And I want to see what's causing the decoherence at frequency origin. I mean, it's quite fascinating if you ever look into a lot of this stuff with nuclear weapons and polio and when viruses started and the advent of viruses and even diseases. We started increasing the schedule for vaccines and then autism went through the roof. This is a neurological degradation, okay? We're talking about an explicit and direct attack on nervous systems, which is why I work so hard on getting us to understand neurologically patterns of the nervous system, the somatic psychology behind it. Okay, so let's get into these questions. You say viruses don't exist. Can you elaborate? Yes, I think I just did. Let's see. When viruses were discovered in science, what was actually happening there? Were they never actually discovered? What they're discovering is decoherence. They're attaching the name virus to it because it sounds really scary. And then they're inserting themselves as the solution. What is the benefit in people believing in viruses? Distraction or fear? Is something like hypochondria a pattern that can be collapsed? Okay, so the benefit for people believing in viruses is to keep them in what I called in a former podcast, in a state of bicosis, which is bifurcated from their mind and their biology, separated from their mind and their body, thinking that I just have all of these symptoms and they're somehow outside of me. Because when you know that you're not separate from source and you know that you can start moving energetically and at frequency level through all these different layers of your body to move yourself back into a state of coherence, you do not need any of these other products. They simply become non-compliant with your field. You do not need to dumb yourself down with medications. You do not need to regulate your heartbeat, which is a vortex. You know, you do not need to, you know, thin your blood out. What are the origin causes of why your blood is thick in the first place? So people are sick because they're addressing the wrong issue. And this is absolutely a fear collapse. Hypochondria can absolutely be collapsed. Anything can. Anything and everything is about moving these patterns, recursive intelligence into a coherent phase locked state. So what do I mean by that? You are going to start to see a new wave of calculus, resonance physics, harmonic physics. This is the stuff Tesla was tapping into. This is what they don't want you to know because it reverses all of the energy stuff, the radiation and the amount of heat and consumption that we are using to generate these large language models through AI are going to burn up the earth faster than our fossil fuel use. I mean, just preposterous, okay? The amount of, because we have to stop operating off of a binary system. And maybe I'll just zoom out even more. I've talked about this before, how we're staying into synthetic architecture and then moving into organic architecture. Our nervous systems are splitting. Our systems are splitting, that there will quite literally be two systems overlapping on top of each other. And this is where it's going to get really, really, really fascinating. AI still operates off of binary code 1 and 0. It operates off of a synthetic silicone-based structure, chemical structure. Where we are moving into is a resonance physics and calculus natural order based intelligence operating system, organic, carbon based, okay, in order, and carbon with other natural materials. So a resonant calculus system, a new language, a new syntax is coming online, making itself available. And that's what AI needs to be operating off of. And then it starts to understand how to burn its own energy. And this is where it gets really, really exciting. So when I say phase lock, is your body is form moving in a particular aspect of time. Your body is sick because it's phase locked in a different aspect of your awareness. It's staying stuck in a particular point of your own memorized experience, memory experience. So you're a soul moving through memory at a certain cadence or frequency, meaning you're remembering at very different rates right now. You're oscillating at individuated rates. The faster you oscillate, the more present you are. The slower you oscillate, the more you're memory bound. So when you're sick, you have to look at where you're operating, where you are in time. So it's a time distortion, it's pattern decoherence, and then you have identity fragmentation, plus you have patterned interference. And if you just go off of those things and make those your baseline, then what is a virus, right? What is it? Avoidance, healing, stress, decoherence, pattern manifestation, bypass, okay? And what's happening is there are intentional interferences, parasites, and very toxic levels of nervous system, neurological agents that are being distributed and sprayed into the collective right now to interfere with those wave patterns. And so the idea is to close those patterns and move yourself back into the zero point over and over and over again. So any pattern can be collapsed. Anything, you can clear and transcend anything. I absolutely need you to know this. And when you kind of, the more information, I will say, like, the more language you can get that can define your experience and how you're experiencing yourself, the more these things are going to start to make sense. So I'm helping you, to the best of my ability, give you guys a different language to your experience. And a different, more complete picture of what's actually happening. Because if you're collapsing into binary, into the 1 and 0, okay, you're still allowing yourself to be polarized. And the more you remember who you are, the more that paradox is held, and the more that your pattern recursion collapses automatically. You start to see the wider frame. You zoom out and you can see the bigger picture, and then you don't let it change you. That's neutrality 101, that's 0.101, and that's kind of where, that's really where you want to be. Because then you're presence bound and you're having a really good time. So does Lyme disease exist? And what does it actually come from? Ticks, ? So no. So Lyme disease to me is an extreme manifestation of fear, okay, with ticks as the carrier. If you think about ticks, they're really invasive, okay? They go underneath the skin, they crawl, and they embed. This is an agent, an embedding agent that carries on fear that is amplified through victim patterning that gets into the blood. So if I was going to work with somebody with Lyme disease, I would want to get into the origin of why Lyme disease is even existing. Why is this even a thing? Why is your consciousness creating Lyme's disease in order to remember itself. I want you guys to remember that because that's the question. Why is my consciousness creating X in order to remember itself? If you just ask yourself that, you'll be fascinated. It'll be very interesting to see what shows up. Okay, so there's a lot of other questions here about viruses and colds. Okay, so what actually determines a system's susceptibility to these things? Pattern, resiliency, capacity, compatibility, your consciousness. It's really a frequency, form, and field quotient. Okay, quotient. If your light quotient, if your capacity, if you are continuing to repeat the same emotional pattern over and over again and bypass the body, you are going to get sick. The body will do anything to survive, and your consciousness is trying hard to get your attention, and you will hold that paradox and contradiction in your body until all of those things begin to speak the same language. What does someone like medical mediums work address when it targets viruses? You know, I don't really know. I paid attention to Anthony's stuff in the beginning. He kind of tunes in to like D7 sometimes, D7 frequency stuff. I know at the time I aligned with what he was saying about parasites and liver. That is actually accurate. That's how I see it as well. I think when he says he's targeting viruses, it either is a translated way that other people will be able to see what they're healing, or for me, I just see it as a decoherence pattern. I don't see it as a virus. So what I think he's addressing is he's attempting to address biology and light, and what he's really targeting is inflammation and story. So not to say that his information isn't good, but you know, if you're drinking like an obscene amount of celery juice, you're looking just for salts and minerals. Minerals are the building block of amino acids. Everybody is different. Most people are so sick and so inflamed that eating nothing but fruit and vegetables or fruit or whatever is good. You're going to have a lot of reduction in the body's response to that stuff. It's going to get so built up with light if you can find enough fruits and vegetables that aren't absolutely pummeled genetically with pesticides, then God bless, right? Do your thing. I will say, I've done this myself. I've done every single lifestyle. I cleared out for 10 years, since I'm in high school, I'm in my teens until mid 30s. I was on and off vegetarian, vegan, and very, very protein shake this, soy that, not soy, you know, following all the things and collapsing into fad one, fad two, fad this, fad that, and eventually you will be asked to rigorously detox the body and clean up your diet and eat very, very clean. Reduction of anything that's inflammatory. Again, we're coming down, it comes down to inflammation and how your body is addressing inflammation. So inflammation is the target. Inflammation is a direct cue for you to be like, hey, body's not happy, time to get into some other protocols maybe and pay attention to what the body is looking for and what it needs. Some of you might need so much, like way, way, way more protein. I know women in their 40s need it. We all need it. And you might need more than you need, that you think you need. And there is just understand this, that my like mindset wise and compassionate wise, consciousness wants to get consumed by higher consciousness, and you can create a blessing and you can nourish both, let's say, assets. Okay. You can nourish yourself to pay it forward. Okay. So whatever you're consuming can get blessed, and you get to evolve the consciousness so it doesn't have to come back as that. Okay. So just keep that in mind. Do we have the ideas about it all wrong in both Western medicine and more conscious healing health circles? Yeah, I think both extremes are distorted, because you're going to get, you know, the vegans and the vegetarians right now are just so hell-bent on their way. Western medicine is so hell-bent on their way, and really being so militant and like so close-minded in their own logic, they will just move immediately into devaluation and degradation of anything that comes in to challenge their level of learning. And they're not even taking nutrition classes in Western medical practices and universities right now. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars of education at these elite colleges, and they're not even taking nutrition. This is insane to me. Like, this is actually crazy. So this is a recent health secretary initiative that doctors who are becoming MDs are required to take nutrition. Because why? How on earth are we not talking about what we're eating and how it's relating to our bioelectric bodies? I mean, just that's how far off we are. Okay, let's see. Do various dietary protocols help heal or return to harmony to some degree? And then further healing must be at the emotional energetic frequency level. Okay, great question. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. So frequency, form, and field. You can't just focus on the spiritual stuff. Believe me, I've tried. Okay, you can collapse pattern all you want, but if you bypass the body, you're going to move into latency. There's going to be a drag. Your body is going to be behind you and you aren't going to be one. It's basically like trying to run against the wind with a parachute on the ground. It's exhausting and you just stall out. You stall. You never get off the starting blocks because you didn't, you kind of bypassed, you were collapsed into either or. So frequency, form, field. Understand the patterns that you're running and start to become aware of how they manifest in your body. Okay. And then somatically recalibrate them, support them, move the energy through the nervous system, and then move into integration. So it's a sequence. And the more you get attuned and accustomed to that sequence, frequency, form, field, the more capacity, coherence, and compatibility you have. And that is where you move into more presence, like fully being able to lock eyes, nervous system to nervous system, and be with someone and something intently and not need anything. This is the core of where abundance begins in all directions. Everything from that place, the field will bend to you. So it's a both and. And honoring the body and the vessel is like taking care of a car you love, taking care of a horse you love. Okay? You love all these things around you, but how are you not taking care of your own body the same way? Like, you can love your parents, you can love your family members, you can love people around you so deeply, but you're almost doing it and wondering why they don't have the same reverence for them. Exactly. So it's a both and all of the above. So if you can put the best, I mean, this is just scientifically proven, right? Like, structured water, fantastic for you. Obviously a 3-2-0, an H3O is going to be a more hydrating plasma-based support, structural support in your body through water than regular water is, because you're seeking hydration, putting clean food. Okay. The less processed, the less hands touch it, the better it is for you, the higher vibration. Okay. How you eat, how you digest, how you eliminate, how you're like, what your vibrancy feels like on a day-to-day, your sleep. And then obviously being sensitive to the times where you're doing a lot of pattern work and a lot of pattern clearing, and then honoring yourself specifically with behaviors. So behavioral change and understanding behavior. If you're looking to just change cognitive behavior, you're literally only at a top downstream, top level layer. Okay. You're optimizing what's already there. So neuroplasticity is very limited in this. There's been so much talk about neuroplasticity in order to change behavior. And I was like, you do know that you're trying to renovate a house when you're operating inside of neuroplasticity. What you want is synaptic connection. You want your synapses to join back up and get married. That's what you want. And so every time you learn a behavior, or let's say you collapse a pattern and you move into more coherence, your synapses regain strength. And that's how you get cognition. This is like metacognition, the ability to be able to observe the way that you think, the way that you observe your patterns. This is the highest form of intelligence. So when it comes to understanding your patterns and your emotion, it's discernment. And for me, frequency is always first, Because if I'm not aware of the pattern I'm running and the way it's manifesting in my body, it doesn't matter how many meditations I do or physical somatic sessions that I get. If I don't have the awareness of it to be able to do it myself, then it's either a top down or a down up, never a both and. So it's a both and. And you can, your pattern recursion in that sequence of being able to move into pattern identification, how it shows up in the body, collapse clear at the layer that you can, okay, and then moving into integration is the sequence of awareness. This is the sequence of embodiment. This is embodied evolution. Then when you embody the information, you know that that pattern you've been running does not have a charge. So if you have a propensity, okay, to people please, to not stand up for yourself, to not set a boundary, and they're loosey-goosey, and you know you have the people-pleasing pattern. You know you do. And this is as baseline as it gets to telling a friend, I'm very sorry, I can't meet you for lunch today. Or let me just go see how I feel about lunch. And then I haven't decided if I'm going to go to the lunch today because I'm just so uncomfortable with saying no that you end up going anyways and then you get sick. So when you want to abandon yourself because you're too afraid of how the other person is going to feel and you know you have that pattern, you are basically reinforcing the very pattern that you are trying to dismantle, okay? Not only do you move into structural echo after you clear a pattern or like a phantom imprint, but that pattern is just waiting to rebound, okay, and move right back into your field because your nervous system and your brain will do anything to prove you right. If you take anything away from this podcast, understand that your brain is going to do anything to prove you right. And if you read my last essay, your brain stops growing about the age of 25 up to 30. And there's two hard codes, an 8-year-old hard code, a 13-year-old hard code, and then an iOS update around 30. And it says, I've seen enough. I'm good. We're good now. I've seen, this is who you're going to be. I think I've got your identity down. It has machine learned you, okay? Your nervous system and your brain is an LL model. It's a large learning model of you. And by the time you get 30, it's learned enough. And that's who you're going to be now. And it's going to do anything to prove all of those patterns right. So your job is to catch it and be like, no, 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 and not replicate and duplicate the logic of your parents that you inherited, but to become aware of what that logic is and dismantle it and remember and operate from that awakened place. This is authenticity. This is when you gain your true agency. This is authority making stuff 101. And this is what this time is all about. Okay. Let's see. I have heard vaccines could be causing allergies in children or in general. What is an allergy? That's actually kind of an interesting question. Okay, so I see allergies, okay, when they affect the sinuses and they affect the lungs so much is like supreme levels of grief. So when you have like respiratory compensation or some compensatory grief patterns that are manifesting in the lungs, collapsed personal disempowerment, victim, anger, okay, when you have physical reactions, you are abandonment. Usually there's an abandonment pattern, and then there's grief that comes with that. And from that abandonment pattern and all of that grief from early imprintation, and again, we're talking supreme levels of fear and disempowerment, and then you're going to carry, it's going to carry on a very big wave of grief and then collapse the lungs, collapse the respiratory, your ability to breathe on your own, to grasp for air, so on and so forth. And do vaccines, let's say, influence that? I would say anything that's toxic could influence that. Are allergies reversible? 100%. Are they reprogrammable? 100%. Okay, I'm going to move beyond vaccines. Let's see what else. There's lots of stuff here about nuclear weapons. Do I want to get into that right now? Okay, fine. You say nuclear weapons don't exist. Can I elaborate? Sure. So when I say they don't exist, what I'm saying is the story about nuclear weapons is not complete. Okay, nuclear energy does not exist. It's just like a virus. You cannot extract a virus. Viruses are not a thing, okay? Nuclear energy is not a thing. It's not something you extract. It is a reaction. Nuclear energy and the nuclear bomb is a dissipation of mass, okay, at scale. And there's several things that are happening here. You're taking what we've been told is that inside of an atom is a nuclei, and inside of that, and that's where nuclear energy comes from that nuclei. No. And we've also been told that it happens when atoms split. There is not a splitting per se, okay? There is a fission, which is the opposite. It's not the same as fusion, which is what you get in hydrogen propulsion, which is about all the future is definitely hydrogen-based. That, again, that's for another podcast. I think I talked about it when I was tapping into 3i Atlas, how they were moving through the universe through plasma propulsion, which was very cool. But back to this nuclear business. So, okay. The term nuclear energy is a phenomenological label. Okay, it's not a fundamental description. It names an observable effect while obscuring, okay, the underlying mechanism, which is why I have a problem with it. What we're actually describing here is vacuum organizational energy released doing quote unquote or during a nuclear configuration change. And it's very, very specific. It's like quantum chromodynamics. Okay. So mass is not a substance. Neutron absorption does not split a nucleus. This is what fission is. Okay. You are not extracting energy stored in uranium. You're recovering the mass. So if you take anything away from this, just know that there is no such thing as nuclear energy, okay, as a standalone force or substance. You cannot find it, store it, or point to it. It has no independent existence. You do not find nuclear energy. It is created. And it is created because there are very excited wave patterns in a field that through fission come together, not split, but reflect their own intelligence, and that creates a seismic reaction. Seismic. Very, very scary levels of reaction. And it causes a tremendous amount of destruction. So you take first of all, if you look at Hiroshima, it's called the little boy device, which don't even get me started on the conspiracy theory of that shit, because I think genocide is a ritual. And I think every time a bomb is dropped, it is a high holy ritual for the Masonic dark mass Illuminati. So you take highly enriched uranium, which has been the ongoing fight between Russia and all of these nations in the Middle East, and you create through fission a chain reaction, okay, a tremendously chained reaction. And then you give it a chemical component, which is cordite in this case, which is a standard chemical explosive. And you give it enough pressure. You give it enough pressure. So you have refined uranium, a steel barrel, and a chemical propellant. Okay. It's going to get pissed off and seek to release itself. And that's essentially what we're talking about. We dropped a mass dissipation device. A dissipation of mass device is what we dropped. And the creation of that is something that Oppenheimer and his very brilliant team of physicists have likely regretted ever since. Because once you create that template into the collective. Now everyone has quote unquote nuclear weapons. We're not talking about nuclear weapons. We're talking about the complete and total destruction and creation and or destruction of a substrate layer of consciousness. Okay, it's completely eradicating a framework through this huge radiation, which is what the sun produces, through radiation. And that's why for generations after, it haunts people. It creates, it's very, very bad for us, right? This is where you get radiation poisoning, things like that. Now, radiation with consciousness is a good thing because that's what consciousness is. It's actually very high forms of radiation. If you are a certain type of interface, like either a solar coded or a plasma coded, which I'll do another podcast on. And I'm talking a lot about that in the groups coming up. So the devastation wasn't entirely in the material per se. It's what happens when the material's organizational pattern is forced to collapse at scale. So a dissipation of mass. Nuclear energy by itself doesn't exist. It's a reaction. And so what we're fighting for right now in Iran has nothing to do with nuclear bombs or weapons. Now, all of this is story, meaning, making, and propaganda. The highest uranium in the world is in Kazakhstan. After the bomb and after World War II, Kazakhstan gave away all of its uranium potential, and it's now managed by Russia. That's why Russia is always a problem, because they have access to have one of the chemical foundational components of making a mass dissipation or a dissipation of mass weapon, okay, which is caused by enriched uranium. And then that rich uranium splits into two other things, or is made up of two other things. I think krypton is another one, or part of it. Krypton is part of that whole formula. And then you put the agent in there to irritate that shit, cordite, okay, the propellant. And then that reaction, the chemical reaction of that, is a sonic boom. So that's, for me, why nuclear energy and this whole argument is so obtuse, because it's not the complete picture. So what are we really fighting over? It's a smoke and mirrors. They're fighting because Iran is one of the countries that refuses to go onto the Rothschild banking grid. This is all about programmable money. And there's a handful of countries that are involved, and Israel is the shield. Israel is the United States with a different name, and they've been a part of the United States since their sovereignty kind of eliminated. They let the agreement between Israel and the United States dissolve in the 1940s. And Israel is America. America is Israel. It's the same thing. And each side, doesn't matter what boot, okay, the government is wearing, one red boot, one blue boot, you're going to get smashed either way. And all roads lead to Israel. All roads lead to being controlled by this. Either, you know, one is going to be propelled by Islamic or radical Islam. The other one is now getting propped up by Christian Zionism. But if you look at what's controlling the mechanism behind that, it's all the same. This is about Rothschild, programmable money, surveillance state, and locking everybody into a synthetic matrix. Perceptual control, no fractal remembrance, bogging down the body, disassociating the body, bicosis. And so our job now is to reclaim that holy trinity, frequency, field, and form. That's really what it is. So when you actually look at the new system being created, in order to be a phased lock coherent being, you have to oscillate at 144 hertz. So it's not the 144 that are here to rule the world. It's the frequency that you can hold that will bring the rest of the collective up and out into awareness. So what we're doing together in Super Freak is raising our vibrations enough to maintain a 144, get as close as we can to that, okay, within ourselves, and create enough of that sustainable field to just create a tunnel, right? To create the possibility for not only for all of us to have presence and memory brown experience and like live our best life and here to have the best time ever and experience like what it is to be fully human and not collapse into the paradox of it, even though it doesn't feel like that sometimes and it's really dense. Like, I really get it. But the more you awaken your own patterns, the more you signal and oscillate at presence, and the more you just need to exist in the world, because that just people perk up around you in their presence, in your presence. Their sleeper cells kind of turn on. You catalyze them and be like, hey, elbow in the rib, you can do more than this. Like, wake up. I see you. And when you look at somebody, and similarly what people feel when they're in awe of nature, and you feel that within yourself, that is what remembrance is. And that's all that people need to feel in order for them to get started. That's frequency catalyzation. Okay, let's see what else we're going to talk about here. So there was a great question that came in about gifting. So I'll say this. Frequency, field, and form, right? Just to button this up. That is the Holy Trinity. You can't bypass one or the other. And the name and the game of embodiment, okay, what we're here to do, embodied evolution, is about holding and metabolizing the level of light and resonance that you are. So people ask me about wanting more gifting. Okay, let me just tell you what gifting is. It is a reflection of your coherence. Okay, it is a byproduct of your coherence. And it's not a gift per se. It's a remembrance. And you have innate knowing about certain things and practices. How I have an innate knowing about forensic pattern diagnostics is beyond me, but I am an interrogator when it comes to patterns. It's innate. How do I know innately to architect consciousness per se? Like, how do I just know this? I just do. And you guys have seen me evolve over the years. You know, when I was very new and sparkly and shiny and just putting a relentless amount of content up there and challenging and being very contradictory, you know, obviously, and then the visibility wound comes in, that exile wound activates from the TikTok ban, and then a whole host of memory recall comes. But during that entire process, I've been able to embody more, and the depth and the level that I'm able to see myself is the way that I am able to see what you guys are working on. But I haven't asked for more power, okay? I haven't asked for that stuff. I've just simply asked, how can I become more embodied? And I will challenge and ask different questions, and then I have to wait for the answer. But this is an innate thing, an innate knowing, an innate remembrance. And if you are meant to have certain levels of gifts, you will have those gifts. If you're meant to talk to unicorns and squirrels or dolphins, that will come naturally into you to benefit you. It's not something you go out and seek, okay? Because you're just so desperate to be of service and help and have value. It's not anything about that. If I went away tomorrow and disappeared off the internet, something else would emerge. I will be fine. Some of you would get a hold of me and be like, you know, Talia, what the hell? Where'd you go? Or not. And we would all go our separate ways, or something else would emerge. Like this last year, I've not nearly been as visible because there was a lot of integration I needed to move through and a lot of memory I needed to move through. And if you are meant, whatever is meant for you will come to you naturally. It will match your deep desire. It will match your curiosities. Like, I don't think many people have the level of interest that I have in like forensic pattern diagnostic to the interrogating level that I have it. It's relentless. There's nothing I'm not afraid of when it comes to helping you guys clear stuff. There's nothing that is a permanent thing. Whatever you're hearing from your highest in terms of moving through a pattern or navigating a pattern is because you can't see beyond that right now, or that's the level that you're at. So as the stakes get higher, if you're an F1 formula driver, okay, let's see what you do with slick roads and the rain. Now let's see what you do here. What changes when you're moving from in like frequency, form, field, to move into coherence, capacity, compatibility are the conditions. The conditions get more, you get more constraint. Those conditions get more intense, and that pulls, right, or requires you to be more in time. It requires a different level of precision, a different level of mastery, a different level of dedication, of devotion. And you're being devoted to your body, you're being devoted to yourself. And that's what returns you to harmony. Okay. You're looking at, if you just look at your body as a resonant bioelectric piezo computer, okay, with this highly, highly intelligent electrical system that's learning, okay, and you're deconditioning it and you're optimizing it and you're learning to work with it and you're present. You're just having these multiple levels of observation within yourself. And you're in training. You're just looking at returning yourself into a state of presence, which is peace, and moving yourself into a state of balance. It's operating at a different level of physics and calculus. I'm going to keep coming back to this. You're going to start seeing resonance-based calculus. Resonance or harmonic physics. These two things. Not quantum. They're going to be different delineations. These new languages. How to define the language of frequency. It's a PDF I have in the lab right now. It's going to be part of the new book I'm writing. Substrates, constraints, conditions, right? Collapse, coherence, compatibility, field intensity, bending to the field. This is just a new language. And when you start to learn the new language, you think of your body much differently and you want to honor it. Okay. Last question. In one podcast, you mentioned the moon being a soul, something cloud, a bright light that attracts past souls. If I have that right, what is the moon actually? I interpret it as being something negative, but is it actually? Okay, so I've talked about the moon a lot. I'll just say this shortly, that the moon does not produce life, okay? It produces reflection, okay? So we need the sun to survive. We need the sun through Fibonacci, through creation, through very, very specific solar coding through radiation. We need the sun through photosynthesis to create life. We do not need the moon. The moon creates the reflection. And depending on your level of awareness and your level of capacity, if you are threatened by the moon, then you become vulnerable to the moon. So the moon doesn't cause tide interference. What's interfering with that is the intelligence through, it's not a, the tides don't actually move forward and back. That's just how you experience them. It's actually through piston, through up and down, through an up and down motion. And at certain times, because of the energy and the configurations and all of this being a geometry, that gets amplified. So whatever you put your energy into and you buy into, that is going to become how you interact, part of the interface in terms of how you interact with your environment. Whether or not it's astrology or your cycle or the certain time of the month or that certain time of the month, I just pay attention to the sun going up and the sun going down. For me, I'm just solar coded, so I pay attention to that cycle and then seasons. And then I try to adapt and sync up circadian wise with the season because I'm biologically charged and the sun has that biological life force to it. And that's what I pay attention. I'm not a nighttime person. I don't bathe anything in the sun. I don't charge anything in the fuck. I mean, I don't charge anything in the moon. I don't really pay attention to the moon. It's a yes and, but there are very specific energies that are utilizing the moon. Okay. So at one point I saw kind of the Fourth Reich having an influence. So if you look at draconian consciousness, if you look at anything kind of parasitic, it's going to any kind of intelligence that does not need that kind of radiation-based light will utilize the moon, okay? So the moon is a stabilizer. It's a geometric and electromagnetic stabilizer. And that's something else with nuclear energy is thermodynamic and electromagnetic energy that's actually being utilized through quantum vacuum fields and things like that. But you guys can do your own research on that. Or you can just tell me if you want a deeper dive. And I will consider it. But the moon is a stabilizer, and it's a lovely metaphor. It's part of seasons, but it doesn't actually grow anything. And entities that do not need radiation-based thermogenic light to live and operate use moon energy. They use that system and enter in and out. So it's not a soul harvesting experience, although it could be if you don't have the awareness of it, okay? So it's just a representation of a reflective metaphor of us having to look inward and have a relation inward with our body, and so on and so forth. And yes, there are cycles and a lot of mythology around moon cycles, and there are a lot of things that are, let's say, true about that. And a bright light that attracts past souls, no. It's not a soul harvesting thing per se. And it's not where people exit the matrix. It's not happening through the moon. So it's just, from what I'll say now for you, is that it is a stabilizer, okay? It is a stabilizer. It is what makes mirror mechanics and polarity possible. And it has a lot of mythology attached to it. And any entity that does not need solar thermodynamic radiation-based light to exist utilizes the moon's, let's say, structure and geometric network to move in and out of. So if you're not a good soul, right, or let's say you don't have fractal intelligence, I don't think you would be needing to use the moon. No one wants to go into like a really shitty downtown if they don't have to. That's essentially my point with the moon. Okay, you guys, I hope that this answered a lot of the questions. At least I think I've got a bunch. There's a bunch more, but they're really about vaccine and blood. And you can deprogram all of this stuff. You can deprogram quote-unquote vaccines. You can, I have all of this stuff on the shop. Take a look at it. I try to do my best to give you guys a ton of resources on this stuff. And thank you so much for hanging out with me. Appreciate the comments. Please continue to leave them for me. I always love hearing them and question everything. And I will see you guys in the field or when I see you next. Take care.